Wake up with Graney and Bischoff on the Press Box. Weekday mornings starting at 7 on ESPN Las Vegas. 1100 AM and 100.9 FM. KWWN Las Vegas. Live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, 4 o'clock hour. A little different time for the show today. Usually this is just getting into things, but we're going to close it out in about 30 minutes. Griffin is here running the show. Aces basketball coming up. Aces basketball coming up. I've been a little strong on kind of puffing out our chests and how much we talk WNBA and how dedicated we've been to the coverage of WNBA. And a lot of that started with management here. We had Tony Bonici in yesterday who built all these sports stations and decided to partner up with so many different people. And one of the great things he did when no one around the country was really given a whole lot of coverage in terms of play-by-play on radio to WNBA is he made the commitment, right? First with MGM and then with Mark Davis. And yeah, that's why we have the majority. Well, we have all the games somewhere on the LV Sports Network. So tonight the game's on ESPN Las Vegas. Don't mind bragging about that. NBA and WNBA angles coming up. Here he is, Mr. Vegas. Mr. L.A. has his own sandwich. Sometimes he's got multiple sandwiches. He is the CEO of the Sporting Tribune. Arash, what's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you?
Good, man. I'm fired up as always. I'm very fired up. I'm ready for the NBA Finals. WNBA, there's so many good storylines. We'll get to some of those. We want to talk a little Cam Brink since you're one of our L.A. guys. But damn, man, I don't want to start out and have a sad note in every one of our discussions. But another icon of the sports, especially columnist end of things. We talked about Bill Walton, who was a great sports broadcasting voice, but we lost another great, huh?
Yeah, I mean, T.J. Simers, you know, a classic curmudgeon sports columnist, and I say that because I know that he would have loved that, you know? I mean, he was the kind of columnist that would go into the post-game press conference and say things that were cringeworthy, but he enjoyed that, getting a rise out of players and coaches. And listen, I mean, there really hasn't been, like, if anyone who can do what he's done since then. And, you know, really got to fame for suing the Los Angeles Times for age discrimination, won that lawsuit. But then I think he got appealed, and sadly, he never really saw it at the dime of that.
Yeah. He was one of the originals on Around the Horn.
He was. You know, fun fact there. I mean, he was there for the first year. Bill Plaschke was not the original Around the Horn. And then TJ, just him being a curmudgeon, basically talked about how bad the show was and how he was embarrassed to be a part of it. And he was not on the show moving forward.
Well, they lost out because some of the L.A. representation, who you mentioned, I don't know. Not a big fan of the snooze fest, but Simers was one of a kind. Here's the other thing about Simers too is we had him on multiple times. We used to be on the Fox station here across the way, and on that show, the Wise Guys and Steve of the Sports Pig, we'd have Simers on. But this is what's great about a guy like that is he's your classic curmudgeon, but he could come on a talk show, and if you battled him, he wouldn't turn into a pansy and get mad.
Yeah,
he'd fight you.
I mean, he was who he was. I mean, the same guy that would, talk to the players and the coaches. Again, a lot of his colleagues did not like him. I mean, I would dare, you know, probably guess that more than not did not like working with him. And there was not this. Listen, obviously, some people took to social media to say how great he was, and then there was a. Because a deafening silence from a lot of people.
Oh, is that right? Okay, interesting. But it is important what he did. If you're going to be a curmudgeon and you're going to challenge in print the athlete and the coaches, you got to show up. You got to be there. They have to. If they want to talk to you, you got to be there too after you say something.
And that was the best part. I mean, I think anytime that he talked to students or was asked to speak to students, I think that was the most important thing is accountability. That, you know, once you write that negative column, showing up to the game, showing up to the locker room, to the clubhouse the very next day. And listen, he got yelled at. He took it. He knew that was a part of the deal. Again, you know, holding power to accountability, I think, is an important thing. I think it gets lost, you know, as we kind of veer into this new wild west world of sports media. But again, it was fun coming up in Los Angeles where he was the Page 2 columnist.
Arash is with us, Arash Markazi, the CEO of the Sporting Tribune. On a much lighter note, how was your relationship with SoFi, and especially the catering people and concessions people? You went out there early on, and you're a man of the people. You went out and you said, hey, this food ain't good enough. You sent pictures. Are you okay there, or are they holding it against you?
I'm okay with them. But listen, I mean, like, you know, I felt bad. I did not go out there to bash the food.
Right.
We went out there for a food tasting before they opened the doors to the public. And the fact of the matter is, not only did it taste bad, but it looked bad. I mean, the hot dogs looked like it was from a gas station. So, and by the way, you hear some of the noise behind me. I came out to Pittsburgh for the Dodgers Pirates series. I had heard that PNC Park was the best ballpark in baseball. I have to admit, it truly is. I put it up there with San Diego and with San Francisco. So, again, there's a little bit of noise. I'm kind of in the corner of the press box here at PNC Park.
Okay. If anyone's looking at you, tell them, mind your own, okay? It's an important spot.
Yeah.
It's an important spot. He's our stadium expert. He's our man about the country. I didn't know you were there. Okay, well, you know what? Before we get to other L.A. topics like LeBron and J.J. Redick, okay, so tell me, first of all, you walk up to that stadium. We were talking about it a couple weeks ago. Because we were rating NFL travel cities. And I've been to Pittsburgh since probably the early 90s, traveling to cover college basketball. So that baseball stadium wasn't there. But I thought that area looked like it could be really cool. So what's the area like nearby? Are there places to go and drink and eat?
Yeah, it's very walkable, and I think that's what makes it such a great ballpark, is that as soon as you walk out, whether it's pre or post game, places right across the street where you can grab a drink, grab a bite, right across the river and the bridge is beautifully painted yellow. There's the skyline of downtown Pittsburgh in the background when you sit down. As I'm sitting down in the press box, well, if you just sit down in your seat, it's just it's very picturesque. And again, like, again, you've seen the pictures before, but coming to a game here, and the players love it. I talked to some of the players before the game. It's their favorite ballpark. So whether you're a fan or you're a player, and again, I was amazed. I mean, this place is almost 25 years old now.
Wow. Arash is on the road in Pittsburgh. We know some of the reasons you're there, and we definitely hit on this earlier in the show, and I'm completely interested because we got a WAG situation. We got a very important moment in baseball. If Paul Skenes is going to be good, and then he's got the, you know, his stuff with Livy Dunn, he throws 100 miles an hour, he's a big, intimidating guy. This, to me, is another one of those test balloons. Baseball has done such a poor job marketing stars and potential stars. This guy, I think, has it. And if he delivers on the mound, they better freaking make this work and make him into a national star.
Yeah, I mean, he is such a star here locally, but they have done, to your point, such a terrible job. I mean, I think if you're like outside of Pittsburgh and you're not a hardcore baseball fan, you don't know who he is. But there's this like quiet, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but you know, when you're in Pittsburgh, you just figure that you're going to lose this kid at some point, whether it's the Dodgers, whether it's the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as he's in his contract year, he'll be dealt because, again, they're going to leave for a, 10-year, $350 million contract they simply can't pay. So, you hope that baseball at some point figures it out where, again, the games against the Dodgers during this series have been not sold out, but there's a ton of people in the crowd. But, you know, is there a pathway to make smaller markets like Pittsburgh, if they develop a star, if they have a homegrown star, can they keep him there?
Okay, Livy Dunn, have you sniffed this out? Is she there? Is she in attendance? Is she in a box? What's going on?
I'm not. I'm just in the press box. Maybe I should, like, walk around a little bit more.
I think you should. I don't know, man. This constant competition with you and Adam Hill. Adam, if you don't get Livy Dunn. Now, Adam had a failed attempt the other day. I'll tell the audience about it. I don't know if you saw this, but you know, Darren Waller is real close to retiring. He put out the song, which we talked about last week, kind of funny but also sad. He was in town this weekend for a big yoga festival. Mm. And then at the last minute, he said to the organizers, he's like, you know what, I think I'm going to play. I want to play my music. And Adam went down, sniffed out the event. He had two entrances to pick from, right? Celebrity exit entrance, right? One, he said, had 30 cars. The other had six. So he went with the 30-car exit out of the building, and then he saw across the way Waller walk out the six-car exit. Is that a mistake on his part? Did he screw up the six versus 30?
No, listen, I mean, I'm the worst with those. If it's a 50-50, I always pick the wrong line, the wrong lane. I am the literal worst with that. So, as much as I would love to needle my good friend there, I can't.
Well, I think you can, because actually – I think he said it was a little over $100 just to go in, but he was too cheap to spend the money.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I've never seen Arash say, you know what, I don't have the funds.
Now you got to have the funds, right?
Yes. If you're dedicated to this beat and it's a unique beat, you know, if you're going to stalk someone, you got to be ready to go. Definitely got to be ready to go. And Arash is with us. Arash, I saw you make a quick remark. You're following the A's in the stadium here. I'm trying to get everyone to kind of guess or come up with some kind of theory. What's your theory on why Cavill and Fisher are floating this thing that when they come to Vegas, they may want to play 10% of their home games out of the market?
I mean, that's dumb, right? I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, the only thing that I can think of is, I mean, I think that they're cautiously optimistic or whatever, that, I mean, clearly the games on the weekend, if they can still, you know, if you're talking about these two to three game series that are like a weekday, that, you know, if it's a Monday to Thursday, if you have a two to three game series in that window where it's a weekday game, you know, would we be better suited playing somewhere else? Maybe. It's just a very fraught plan. I mean, like, you do not move into a new city and one of your first things is we want to play 10% of our games away from our new home. I mean, that makes no sense.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone do that. And here's the other thing. You got these hardcore Oakland fans who know all the numbers, the analytics, the promises, all the projections. And, you know, we know this too, but part of their projections were, hey, this thing is going to work money-wise and we'll be able to pay back the loan to the state and the county if we sell out every single game. And then within like 9 months of getting the loan, they're like, oh, no, we're not going to play every game there. Like, wait, what happened here? You need to sell out every single game. Now the numbers don't work.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the numbers never work because they were never going to sell out every single game. That's a ridiculous, you know, thing to think that you're going to do. So, I mean, listen, everyone that I've talked to that has ever dealt with John Fisher on that franchise does not think that this plan is going to work. What I don't want to get looped into this is that I do think Major League Baseball could work in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Do I think it could work with John Fisher? No. Do I think it could work in that footprint on the Tropicana on 9 acres? Not, no. And it's not like an ideal place either. So I just don't want Vegas to get looped into there because I do think this city has shown on three different occasions with the three professional sports franchises that it has, it will pack the building. And so, you know, I just don't want, if the like Oakland A situation plays out and it's good, that Major League Baseball doesn't lump it in. Like if they're looking at expansion, they should look at Las Vegas.
I think Utah is really the place where the A's should land. They have an aggressive owner who's already brought, well, hockey's going there, but they've got aggression there and money, right? And I think it would work there. I think the target franchise for Vegas expansion would be cool. I would take the Rays. And I saw you tweet about the new renderings. First of all, I want to get your take on what you think of the Rays renderings. And then I guess the great question there is they've been trying to get a stadium done forever. I wonder if it gets done. But what do you think of their stadium?
No, I mean, I thought it was unique in terms of the Las Vegas perspective because, you know, they're trying to build a 30,000-seat roofed, $1.5 billion stadium. And if that sounds familiar, that's like generally what Las Vegas is trying to do. So, listen, I think smaller is the way to go if you're a team like the Rays, if you're a team like whether the Oakland A's move to Vegas or they go to Sacramento. 30,000, that's the sweet spot. I mean, it shouldn't be much less than that, but not much more than that. So I generally like the concept. Can baseball work in Tampa? I'm not sure. But at least you have a chance for success if it's a 30,000-seat roofed stadium built specifically for the team. Now, the good thing that they showed in the pictures is, like, listen, that could also be used for concerts, boxing, other things. But that's a perfect size.
Oh, Lord. You're missing it. I'm sorry. We'll keep you for, like, two more minutes here. You're missing a game here where Paxton just got destroyed. So it's,
I know.
It's 5-0. Skeens has a chance here to get a win. Pirates have a chance to get a win, but yeah, Paxton has not
the
been
back
good.
Back to back, by the way. Yesterday, the Dodgers left 12 runners in position.
Poor Glasnow pitching really well and just not getting run support lately.
Yeah,
so 5-0
terrible.
As Arash is in Pittsburgh. All right, let's finish up just talking about what's going on with the Sparks this week. And Sparks, LA, and Vegas are going to meet up on Sunday. Got a homestand here tonight. And they're back. I think they're back to Long Beach for all these games, right? The smaller gym, I think.
No, I think. I got to double check. Yeah. I think Crypto is their home for the majority of these
okay.
games.
Okay. Tonight, Minnesota. Friday, Dallas. Home on Sunday. And this is all part of the Commissioner's Cup, which I've been telling people. This is a really big deal. Like, the in-season tournament for the NBA was cool, and there was a prize, and LeBron was all fired up that he won money. The money in this, like, really means something to a lot of the players who aren't making a whole lot for the season.
Yeah, and it's also a great moment where, listen, the Sparks aren't going to win the championship this year, and I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. But, you know, you can conceivably go on a kind of a small little hot streak or a run there where you win a handful of games that puts you in position to play a championship game, where you could, whoever, you know, find yourself hoisting that trophy up. I mean, look at what happened in the in-season tournament. It was the Lakers and the Pacers. The Lakers got bounced in the first round, and the Pacers lost, so in the conference final. So it's a cool moment. The Sparks have a very good young team with Cameron Brink and Rakia Jackson. This is not a team that's going to make the playoffs, but if they can get to 500, which I don't know if they can even do that, quite frankly. I mean, I think this is the first step towards them contending. And if they can get a nice pick next year, then we can talk about them being perhaps a contending team next year, not this season.
Arash Markazi. Last 90 seconds, Arash. I saw this thing. You updated us on FX and Clipped, and the premiere was just a couple days ago. What was I don't know if you went out there, but what was FX doing with some sort of immersive exhibit on Saturday at a courtside club?
Yeah, it was downtown Los Angeles. They had, like, a basketball court, and they had, like, a few other things. They had a red carpet. They had a preview. So, again, the first – 2 episodes, I think, have premiered. I was covering the Clippers as a beat that season. Ramona was helping me out, and she killed it with this. I mean, it is a very good show. And again, I just saw the first 2 episodes. So, but again, I think a lot of people out there, even if you're familiar with the story, but certainly if you're not, I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't think most of the country is that familiar with it, because it was so much behind the scenes stuff and the craziness before it. Ed O'Neill is playing Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
Al Bundy.
He actually does a pretty amazing job.
He
wasn't sure if he wanted to do it, but he does an amazing job.
Okay. Better than Adrian Brody as Riley?
I think so.
Okay.
I can't
get that depiction out of my head, because Brody is a really good actor, but the schnozola, I'm not one to rip on big noses, but I mean, if you're Riley, you're like, come on, man. I was a fashion plate and a beaut. You know, this guy's this guy's playing me. All right, Arash, we appreciate it.
All right, you're next. See ya. Bye.
Thanks, buddy. I think he was getting yelled at in the background. So, oh, well. Too bad. The game's over. It's 5-0 already. Well, maybe not. Dodgers can't come back. But, yeah, 5-0. 6-0. Bottom second. 2 runners on. And Arash on the road. Well, I hope he finds Olivier Dunn. I figured that was the one reason he went. He was, like, real tepid on, I don't know if I'm going to find her. I don't know where she is. Come on, dude. The highest paid NIL athlete in the country. Livy Dunn, gymnast from LSU, going out with Paul Skeens from formerly Air Force and then LSU. Number one pick already up and averaging like 11 Ks per 9. And I have a weird thing. I don't look at box scores until games are over. It's very weird. It's mostly fantasy-based. This is actually matches with my history. I don't like spoiling surprises. So if I have a birthday gift on the way, I don't want to know what it is. I don't care. If we're going to a show like 2 months from now, which is something the significant other will do, like, I don't want to know what show. I want to know on my birthday. I was never the kid, and I have an older brother and a younger brother, just bad kids. They were just bad kids. And they would go around Christmas and find the gifts that Santa, yes, I still believe in him, Santa would drop off to my parents, and they would have in a closet, and they would shake it, sometimes unwrap it. So I come from a unique family in that they have a wicked sense of humor. One of my older cousins did that where he looked at Christmas, and I'm going to get back to the box score here in a second, but he looked at he found gifts for Christmas in his mother's closet. They realized that he had opened it, looked at it, tried to rewrap it, but he screwed it up. Instead, they took away the gift, and then the family's all around. I think there was extended family there, and they're like, "Yeah, open the gift. Same box." And this is my cousin, Bobby. They gave him a dress, and he cried, and they laughed. And I think it's funny. I still think it's funny. Don't snoop! So anyway, my life's very exciting, but because of fantasy baseball, I always wait for the game to end, and then I look at the box score, and I'm like, oh, yeah, my guy had a home run. I do that at the end of the workday, and that's a very exciting life I'm leading. Very exciting. These are exciting times in the WNBA as we're waiting for the NBA Finals. They're back tomorrow. We'll have them here on the LV Sports Network. One, there is a game coming up tonight. It's on Fox 5. We're broadcasting it. But if you're going to watch it on TV, you want to go where all the Aces fans go. And Finley Volkswagen Henderson is presenting the Aces Watch Party, as they do for every watch party. Hoosong's Cantina. Boca Park. Alta and Rampart. Happy hour's going on right now until 6. So that menu's got selections for $4, $6, and $8. They got a full bar, so you're talking margaritas and micheladas, and Big Greg Salerno's out there. He's hosting the party. He's going to have prizes like a sign-up for Aces tickets, and he swears. I mean, come on, this guy, he's a big guy, right? So he knows his food. He was swearing yesterday by the guacamole. He loved it. And the best part is it is a ton of Aces fans hanging out. So again, Boca Park, Hoosong's Cantina. One of the originators, and I think they probably like, hey, we did it. One of the originators of the margarita in Mexico. But that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Tip at 5 o'clock. We have the game right here on ESPN Las Vegas. So we're going to go to Dallas in a couple of minutes. And again, this is the beginning of the Commissioner's Cup. It's very reduced this year. Not 10 regular season games. 5 games count. And then from there, the winner of this tournament, and the Aces didn't win last year. The winner of the tournament, the team gets $45,000 apiece. And we know salaries aren't gigantic. $45,000 is a lot. So the intensity begins tonight right here on ESPN Las Vegas.